Our lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. So these past several days, I have been thinking a lot about thorns. And when I think of thorns, two childhood memories immediately jump into my mind. The first, when I was probably 6 or 7 years old, my godmother, Auntie Lisa, often put together flower arrangements for fun. And I recall being at her house one day and seeing kind of a pile of long-stem roses next to a vase waiting to be put into an arrangement. And being 6 or 7, never having handled a rose before, I picked one up, gripped it firmly in my hand, mid-stem, only to be quite surprised to have thorns digging into my fingers and my flesh. And I have to admit, still to this day, I'm a little hesitant when it comes to picking up a rose. The second memory I have surrounding thorns comes from my years growing up, spending time each summer at the Delaware seashore. If you forgot to put on your shoes before walking through the area where the sand dunes met the pavement on your way to walk back to the beach house, you were pretty much guaranteed to have at least 3 thorny stickers in each of your feet. In my experience, thorns can be painful. They're a nuisance. Thorns are definitely something I seek to avoid and yank out of my skin as quickly as possible. And the reason I've been thinking about thorns these past several days is because of our epistle reading today. Our reading comes to us from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And in today's lectionary passage, Paul talks about the experience that he has with a thorn in his flesh. So during our next few minutes together, I'd like to do 2 things. First, I'd like us to look at what Paul has to say about his experience with a thorn in his flesh. And second, I'd like us to explore what we can learn from Paul's experience about God's presence and power in our lives today. So first, let's jump into the biblical text. As I mentioned, our passage comes to us from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which actually isn't really Paul's second letter. It's probably more like his 3rd or 4th to the church at Corinth. There was a series of correspondence between Paul and this early Christian church, but only 2 of his letters survive. So this is the 2nd surviving letter that we have. And in this letter, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church in the face of opposition and personal attacks by people in the church against him. So Paul spends most of the time in this letter seeking to defend his personal integrity and his teachings and ministry, and to emphasize the glory and the power of God. So we pick up today in verse 2 of chapter 12, so towards the end of the letter. Feel free to follow along in your order of worship or in the Bibles in your pewbacks. We're in chapter 12, verse 2, and Paul proceeds to relate a mystical experience he had. As he refers to himself in the 3rd person, Paul writes, "I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the 3rd heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. So here we have Paul explaining to us that 14 years earlier, he had an experience in which he found himself in the third heaven. And ancient Jews would understand this to be the very presence of God. Paul finds himself in the very presence of God, and while there, he receives secret divine revelations. So clearly, this is an experience that is extremely rare, it's phenomenal, it's extraordinary. And then, jumping to verse 7, Paul writes, "Therefore, to keep me from being too elated," so to keep Paul from being too delighted and excited and perhaps even prideful about this experience that he had with God, Paul explains that a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. So here we are introduced to this thorn in Paul's flesh. Now notice Paul doesn't really give any specifics surrounding what exactly this thorn is. And the lack of specifics have inspired quite a lively debate among scholars. Some scholars think Paul's thorn was a chronic medical condition, like an eye problem or malaria or epilepsy or even depression. Others suggest that his thorn was a moral or a spiritual struggle that he faced. Still other scholars identify Paul's thorn in the flesh to refer to the opposition and persecution he faced in his ministry. Ultimately, the specifics of the thorn remain a mystery, but what doesn't remain a mystery is that the thorn was a source of suffering for Paul. A thorn in the flesh is a painful thing. As I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, the first thing I do if I have a thorn in my flesh is to remove it as quickly as possible. Seems to me all of us would have that reflex if we are stuck with a thorn, to remove it as quickly as possible. A thorn in the flesh that could not be removed, such as Paul's, would be awful. I mean, it would be a source of affliction, a source of weakness, a source of ongoing discomfort and pain. So it really isn't a surprise that in verse 8, Paul writes three times, "I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. Paul repeatedly prays to Christ that Christ take away this thorn, that Christ deliver him from his suffering. But Christ doesn't. Christ does not take away the thorn. Christ does not deliver Paul from his suffering. Instead, Christ tells Paul in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, Christ is telling Paul, "I am enough. My power, my strength, my grace will sustain you in the midst of your weakness and suffering. Your pain can never surpass or exceed my supply of grace. My grace is sufficient for you to endure this thorn in your flesh." And Christ's words to Paul hold true for us today. Christ's grace is sufficient for us. We all have thorns in our flesh, things in our lives that cause us suffering and pain and trials. Thorns may take the form of difficult or estranged relationships, addictions, illnesses, struggles with temptation and personal sin. Thorns may be seasons of unemployment, of grief, of loneliness, or heartache. Some of our thorns may be with us for a limited amount of time. Some of our thorns may seem to be unending. And like Paul, we may find ourselves crying out to God to remove these thorns from our lives, to deliver us from the suffering. And when we seem to get no relief from God, when the thorns continue to press stubbornly into our flesh, our passage today reminds us that Christ's grace is sufficient. Christ's grace is sufficient to allow us to bear our thorns, to endure in times of suffering and trial. About 10 years ago, my grandmother was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of macular degeneration, which has effectively rendered her blind. And she used to be an avid reader and card player. Now she has to listen to books on tape and have a partner, when she plays cards, read the cards to her. My grandmother can't visually recognize family or friends. She can't see the art that my son, her great-grandson, draws for her. Would my grandmother rather be living without the thorn of macular degeneration in her flesh? Absolutely. Would she rather be living a life having full sight as opposed to living a life in darkness? Of course she would. But my grandmother never complains. And I'm confident, I've never asked her this, but I'm confident the reason that she doesn't complain is because she gets that Christ's grace is sufficient. She understands that Christ's grace is sufficient for her to endure her blindness, to endure her suffering, and so she seeks and continues to try to live a life as full as possible despite her debilitating condition. See, when you no longer think you can stand, Christ's grace is sufficient to uphold you. When you find yourself in the deepest depths of pain and despair, Christ's grace is sufficient to comfort you. When you find yourself facing an overwhelming and seemingly insurmountable struggle, Christ's grace is sufficient to bring you through 10,000 times over. When you have nothing left to give, Christ's grace is sufficient to give you the hope and the strength and the courage to take one more breath, to take one more step, to go on for just one more day. My sisters and brothers in Christ, it is my prayer that whatever thorns may be pressing into our flesh this morning, that we hold fast and lean into this life-giving and life-sustaining and life-changing truth, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient. Always. Thanks be to God. Amen.